gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Once again, today we've got Claire in the studio. How are you doing today, Claire? All right?
I'm very well, Dave. How are you doing?
I am fine. Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome. As I say, I always love coming into the studio because I get to sit down and to be in the shelter, having a bit of a rest, because it's quite a busy time in gardening,
yeah,
the month of May.
Yeah. But last week was good, though. Last Bank Holiday Monday was all right. It was at the sun.
It was lovely.
The sunshine was out in the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got these bank holidays, which have been great, I think, for getting out and enjoying your garden, either at your home or with your friends or family. Lots of people I've seen at the nursery I work at. So I've seen lots of people coming in and really just getting into the groove.
Because normally bank holidays are really naff, aren't they, weather-wise?
Well, that's normally what happens. But we seem to have broken that a bit this year, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, the August bank holiday is always the one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, they always have Reading Festival on that day as well, don't they? So that's why. And in Glastonbury, Glastonbury's on in July, isn't it?
Yeah, and then there's Carfest locally as well. Right, so that's always another one as well to see what the weather's doing.
Okay, so what are we talking about today then, Claire?
Well, I thought it's the month of May. Things are very busy in the gardens, but also it's a lot. There's a lot of campaigning and information we might see about something called No Mow May, which is an initiative by Plant Life, a charity, to encourage us to leave our lawns long for May. So I thought what we should probably do is do a bit about lawns, grasses. Mm-hmm. Why does lawn grow? Why you might have a problem with your lawn? What to do about if you need to make your lawn bigger or smaller?
Yeah.
And then a bit about No Mow May.
Okay, then. Over to you. Because I haven't got any grass in my garden.
Have you not?
No.
Well, to be honest, grass goes in and out of fashion like nobody's business.
Does
in
it?
Some senses. Yeah. So
mind you, I thought that artificial stuff, but I'm not, I don't know, is that any good?
Well, the problem with artificial stuff is it's sold as low maintenance, but actually it takes a lot of maintenance.
Does it?
One, you've got to sweep down all the leaves all the time, which fall on it. Two, weeds do grow up through it if you're putting it on soil, yeah, or even actually with weed seeds which come in from the wind. So you're not necessarily going to get no maintenance. And also, as I think quite a few people experienced last summer, it's incredibly hot for children and animals, and particularly underfoot in the summer. So it doesn't actually make it a very usable space. And I would say from a sustainability point of view, it doesn't do anything to kind of slow the runoff of water. Mm. And obviously, it's not great in terms of biodiversity and actually providing a good structure for all the plants and insects and wildlife that we generally want to look after and encourage in our gardens.
Yeah. Well, now I've thrown you off track now because I've started talking about that.
Oh, no, but it's useful to know because a lot of people do have them, or they think they're a low-cost solution.
Yeah.
In fact, they can cost quite a bit. And lawns are probably one of the cheapest things to do, rather than patios or paving slabs or gravel or artificial grass. An actual lawn is cheap. There's two main ways of putting a lawn down. Either you buy turf in rolls and you lay them almost like bricks. So
yeah,
you kind of butt them up against each other. Mm-hmm. And then on your next row, you kind of push them half a brick along, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So that helps to knit them together. And the great thing about turf is that it's a relatively instant look. You can use it relatively quickly. You can lay pretty much every single time of the year, apart from when the ground is frozen or really waterlogged. It's a good way of putting a lawn on somewhere like a slope or around particular edges, which might be quite hard. But it does cost a bit. And the alternative, which is much cheaper, is to lay a lawn from seed, which is just involves putting down a load of lawn seed and waiting for Mother Nature to do her business.
Mm. Is there different types of grass?
Absolutely. So the first thing to really think about grass is like any other plant in your garden, really. It's a perennial. Do you remember those are the plants which come back every year, come what may? And when we mow the lawn, what we're doing is just chopping off the top of that perennial and letting it grow. So we never let it really go to seed, to flower in grass terms. We just keep it mown at a particular depth.
Mm.
So you get lots of different varieties depending on whether you want a really kind of bowling mat green style, very, very ornamental lawn, or whether you want something which is can take the rough and tumble of family life or with pets, then quite often we find people whose lawns just don't thrive. And a lot of that is because our gardens can often be in shade. And when developers or general B&Q seed mixes are sold, they tend to have species of lawn seed which are for sun. So if you've got a shady lawn, you'll want to be looking at for a shade mix which has got better types of grass seed in there, which are going to develop stronger roots and actually give you more coverage without the sun. Because if you don't get enough sun and you have lots of bare patches, you can get a lot of moss, particularly in autumn.
I didn't even know there was different types of grass seed. I just thought it was grass seed.
No, there's loads of different ones. So the general big one, which is used in most lawn mixes, is Lolium perennae. Sorry, it's a bit of Latin there. It's always a nice bit of Latin on a Tuesday morning, isn't it? And it's really good for hard wearing, but it doesn't form, it doesn't kind of spread. So if you get a bare patch, it won't pollinise that bare patch, whereas other forms of grass seed will. And what you want from a grass seed mix is something which is going to have a mix of seeds. So it's going to give you the tough, hard-wearing grasses, but also the spreading grasses and the ones which are going to be good if you have a shady lawn or an area which is particularly wet or waterlogged. So the best way to find that... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, when I've been abroad, like in Florida, their grass is really thick.
Yeah, so the way to get really thick grass is to do something called scarifying, which is removing all the old bits of grass which have died off from previous years and aerating the lawn, which is a way of...
Is that with like a spiky thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
A spiky roller thing.
It's a very technical term. We call it a hollow pronged tine.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
And it basically takes out plugs of the soil underneath. And that means more air can circulate, and you can use those hollow plugged bits to then put food, fertilizer, and more topsoil down to actually improve it.
Okay.
So when you look at places like in Florida or other places which have got very, very lush and green grass, it will probably have had more care than our average lawn, which we just go out and mow it a couple of times a year. So like any perennial, like any of our plants, the more you feed it, the more you look after it, the more it will look after you. So if you want to invest in a really nice looking lawn, you will need to spend the time scraping off the old muck, so scarifying it, then aerating it. You can use a fork and just wiggle it about if it's a small area. And then in putting on some fertilizers, so some top dressings, high in nitrogen.
And that will
get that lush look.
Why do some lawns get a brown patch, like a bald patch? Why is that then? Is that for a certain, happens for a reason or?
Yeah, you can get lots of different lawn pests and diseases. So you can have things called fairy ring, where you can get the grass dying back, or red lace, where it looks like the lawn seeds are actually turning bright pink. Quite often, where we see the lawn dying back, it's an early sign of stress and drought. So it might be a sign that the grass is particularly stressed in that particular area. And as we know, over the summer, our grasses and our lawns can turn pretty much, you know, biscuity brown.
Yeah.
But still, come October, when the rains came, they all perked up and looked absolutely fine.
Yeah.
So it will be their kind of cycle of going through stress and relief to go that dusky brown colour. But it can be a sign that you've either got a pest or a disease as well. So it's worth getting checked out.
And when you put lawn seed down, are you meant to cover it with anything? Stop the birds eating it?
Well, this is the thing. So I've got a nifty trick for the listeners here. Yeah.
All right.
So lawn seed is an absolute favourite of birds. They really, really like it, particularly things like pigeons, which I don't know about you, but there's a lot of pigeons.
Yeah,
about.
We've got some in our garden at the minute. But the dog goes out and chases them.
Oh, really?
It'll go out onto the decking and bark and they fly away and he thinks, oh, I've done my bit.
I've done my duty today.
That's right.
And the problem is, if we let our dogs go out and bark at the birds, then the problem is the dog's probably gone over our newly done lawn seed and dug it all over. So here's a nifty trick. trick. Get your lawn seed, get a black bin liner, fill your bin liner with some old compost. Doesn't have to be fresh, just old compost. Add the lawn seed and a bit of water to your compost and leave it indoors in a cool, dark place for about 7 days. And what that does is it starts the germination process of the lawn seed. And once the lawn seed has germinated, the birds don't like it.
Oh, okay.
So what you can then do is then spread out on your kind of prepared area where you want your lawn, the mixture of compost and germinated seed. And that has got a much higher success rate than just putting the flat seed out. If you do want to just put the flat seed out, you can, but it's a good idea to net across or to put something to stop birds or pigeons or chickens. I had a client today with chickens and she was saying, well, what are we going to do when we do the lawn? I said, well, we're going to have to make sure we keep the chicken out of the way or pre-germinate the seed.
Yeah, I ain't got any chickens.
No. And the dog might be a bit of a liability. No. So I would say if you are thinking of a lawn, you might want to go down the pre-germination route, or you can say you can net over, just stretch some leftover netting or things over across some bamboo sticks. But my experience is that's always the kind of thing that I'm tempted to trip over.
Yeah.
Fall on my face.
So when you put new grass seed down in, are you meant to like drown it, are you?
Well, not so much drown it, but you should water it
regularly.
Really regularly. Right. And the same with turf, actually. I would say, you know, a good soak every two or three times a week. So the reason why we tend to suggest doing a lawn in spring is we're not necessarily yet on hosepipe bans. So you can invest the money of the water in actually getting it well established.
Because I suppose with turf, because sometimes that can die off, can't it?
It can indeed, and normally the problem is it's not formed enough of a contact with the underlying ground. So you if you're laying turf, rake over the soil underneath it to make sure you're going to have really good contact between the roots at the bottom of your turf and the soil, and you kind of bed it down. You try not to walk on it, but walk on boards when you're pressing it down, and then make sure you're watering it and give it a tug every so often. And before too long, if it's worked well, your roots of your turf should then start to go into the soil. If you do find there's a bare patch, you can either nip off a bit of a corner of somewhere else that you don't care about, turn it around and put it in, and then put a bit of grass seed in the bit you don't want like as much. Or if it's an area you don't really care about so much, you can just put some grass seed down there.
Have you got grass in your garden?
I do have grass in my garden. I have less grass than I used to because I like a big border. And I think a lot of borders in our gardens are too small. And actually, it means the plants don't have enough space. And also, I just love plants. So in my back garden, I do have grass. It is relatively hard used by children and dogs and cats and things like that. So it's not something that I personally spend a lot of time invested in. And then my front garden, I have a tiny, tiny bit of grass, but I never mow it, actually. I cut it down once a year.
So you don't cut it with a pair of scissors, do you?
No, I use a lawn trimmer. I don't even have a lawn mower, actually. I just borrow my friends down the road.
Don't have a lawn mower?
No, but I think this comes down to sustainability and consumption. We build our cities and plan our cities around cars, which are stationary for about 95% of the time, right?
Yeah.
And then if we think about how many times a year we use our lawn mowers, it's probably even less than, they're probably stationary for far more than 95% of the time.
Yeah, they probably just sit in the garage or the shed, didn't they, most of the time?
Exactly.
That's why they never start.
Indeed. Well, we talked about that. Do you remember a couple of while ago?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Make sure it works. But if it doesn't work, share with a friend.
Yeah.
So my lawn in the front I use for no mow May, but I also leave it wild year round. So no mow May is the idea that while we like our lawns looking neat and tidy, it's a good idea to let some areas of our lawns grow long.
Why?
Because it can encourage a different number of species to grow. So not just the lawn seeds we've been talking about, but all sorts of wildflowers, oxeye daisies, knapweed, which are really great for our pollinators and our insects. The idea is if we let our lawns grow, we can have that greater biodiversity. And then when we cut it back, that also is providing nutrition, retaining moisture in the lawn for later on in the year as well.
I suppose it's like Movember, isn't it?
It's exactly that. It's Movember for lawn.
Yeah.
That's a really good way of putting it. So some people think it's a bit controversial because 1 month isn't quite long enough if you're thinking of establishing a really full wildflower meadow style lawn. You do need to do more than just not mow it for 1 month. Yeah. And other people think, well, it just looks a bit messy. If you're worried about it looking messy, you can always mow around the edge or mow paths through it. And that looks really effective because then you have the long grass and then you have the shorter grass for your edges, perhaps, or round an island bed. And that can be a really nice way of getting the contrast between spaces where you can walk around yeah. and, you know, and get to and from the back shed or whatever, and areas which are longer. And you can even experiment every year. You know, it's like your hair, it keeps growing back.
So, you can make your own crop circles, can't you?
You can make your own crops. I mean, some people are very inventive. You know, you can draw a labyrinth. You can do all sorts of things, depending, of course, on the size of your garden.
If you let it grow for more than a month, you could make your own maize in it, couldn't you, at the end of the year or something?
You can. And then what we say is that if you are thinking of going in for wildflowers, then come September, October, everything should be chopped down and taken right back down almost to bare earth. Because otherwise what happens is the lawn seed, it's so well developed, it's so well studied, it's that the strains we use are really, really vigorous, and that will kind of outcompete the other native species of our wildflowers. So if we don't knock it all back in autumn, we don't tend to see the wildflowers flourishing as much as the grasses.
So I've got a controversial question about lawns. Sorry. When you cut the grass.
Yeah.
Should you leave the cut grass cuttings on, or should you rake them up or pick, you know, can you just leave them as when you cut, can you just leave it on there, the cuttings, or is that not?
You that's not a controversial question. It's on my list. Yeah, look at that. It's almost like we
telepathic.
We talk a bit about what we're going to say, but the connection is there. It's amazing. Yeah, so there's three things you can do with your lawn clippings. First off, you can just not attach the bit at the back, the box which clips them, and just mow and leave. And the advantage of that is that it lets the grass then rot down in situ. It returns the fertile, then the micronutrients in the chopped off top of your lawn back into the lawn seed. It's very easy. It doesn't mean that you need to do anything, and it doesn't mean you need to hawk that box on and off and fiddle about where it doesn't actually fit in or not. But if you like a very, very tidy lawn, you might not think that's what you want. So in that case, you can either compost it. It's a really fast composting material, lawn clippings. They are really, they bake hot because they are quite moist and they're really lush and juicy, which means that you will have a bit of a temperature spike in your compost heap if you put it all in neat. So you might want to mix it in with some cardboard or some woody material or something like that to keep the temperature of your compost heap equal. You can put it obviously in your green waste bin. Someone asked me this week whether you could use it as a kind of a green mulch and put it on your beds and borders. And I said, I think that's not a great idea because one, it blows around quite a bit. Two, it can self-seed a bit into your borders. So while self-seeding back into your lawn isn't a problem, if you don't really want lots of grass growing actually in your beds and borders.
Or clumps of it here and there, really, do you?
Indeed. So for that reason, I'd say the best three options are leave as is, compost it, or green waste it.
Okay. Any more? Because we've sort of hit our time now.
Oh, my God. I think we've pretty much hit it. The only thing I was going to say is I did hear in Florida there used to be a requirement to paint, if your lawn was looking a bit brown in the summer, there would be a requirement to paint it over.
Really?
So not artificial grass, but actually just painting the lawn to make it look so neat and tidy. That is changing now. We're seeing a lot of states changing the kind of requirements on lawns and what they're supposed to look like. But if in doubt, don't try and think artificial turf is a way forward. See what you can do with the lawn that you have. Think about letting it grow long for May, or just experiment a bit about how you can get the best out of it for what you want.
Perfect. So we've spoke about lawn, and we're not going to see you next week. We're going to see you the week after.
Indeed, yeah.
So before we go today, we have to do the usual thing. And what is your song request for today?
Well, I was thinking about lawns and mowing, but then I kind of thought back a bit to my youth, I'm afraid. So we're going to go with a 90s track. We're going to go Supergrass, We Are Young.
Thank you very much, Claire. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much.
Perfect.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.